Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of Gospel on the Go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we will be continuing with this very, very hot topic, predestination. We'll be in part three, and I think we may actually do a fourth part as well, because I am getting a lot of questions that is just causing me to just add more and more parts to this. So I'll go as far as I have to go, do as many parts as I need to on this topic. Very important topic. And I really appreciate all the questions that I'm getting. Keep them coming. I'll do my best by God's grace and through His holy word to answer your questions. Now, one of the questions on predestination has to do with Romans chapter 10. Verses 9 through 13, where Scripture clearly declares that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, this text, first of all, is absolutely true, okay? But a lot of people will say, well, we'll see, Scripture says that if you call upon Jesus, whoever calls upon Jesus, anybody who calls upon Jesus will be saved. Well, yes, but the question is, who is the who can call upon Jesus? Again, the big debate when it comes to this topic of predestination, as I stated last in part two and even introduced in part one, the big debate is this. Any, you know, born again, Bible believing, you know, Christian believes in predestination. You can't deny it. The word is throughout Scripture, right? But, and again, for those of you who are tuning in the first time, predestination basically is God in His grace predestines, chooses his people for salvation. And he does that before the foundation of time. That's predestination. The question, however, is this. On what basis has God chosen you, Christian? Well, some say it's based on the condition that God, looking down the corridor of time, saw that you would turn and first choose God, that you would first love God, and based on that condition that God saw in you, that's why God chose you. That's called conditional election. Okay? The other view is called unconditional election, that God looked down the corridor of time and saw that nobody would choose him. Because nobody could choose him, because we all come into this world dead to God, hostile to God, wanting nothing to do with God. And therefore, those whom God has chosen, he chose not based on any condition of that person in terms of that they would choose him, but instead, God chose you, not because of you, but in spite of you. It's unconditional election. Okay? Well, those who hold to conditional election say, this text that we just read, look what it says. Anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means that the Lord, looking down the corridor of time, knew that you would call upon him. That's why, based on that condition, he chose you, right? Wrong. You've got to interpret Scripture with Scripture, right? So when you look at a text that seems to imply something, okay, you don't make doctrine on that. You widen the angle. Now you want to look and see what other texts within that chapter, within that book, have to say about this same subject. And if you're still not getting the explicit, you then widen the angle more and go to other books in the Bible, right? So you take a text that seems to imply something. That's called the implicit. But you never interpret Scripture based on the implicit. You widen the angle as far as you have to go to find the explicit on that topic. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to widen the angle a little bit right here in Romans. Well, Scripture is clear. Whoever calls upon the Lord will be saved. Totally get that. But who is the whoever? Well, in chapter 3, Paul makes it very clear, quoting Old Testament Scripture, verses 10 through 12. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. In God's eyes, there's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks for God. No one. Because you're dead to God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is no one who does good. Good according to God's standards. Not even one. So Scripture here is very clear. On our own, there is not one person who will seek God. Why? Because we all come into this world disconnected from God. We are dead to God because of the sin nature we inherited from Adam and Eve. And that sin nature, now we're alive in the physical realm, but we're dead to God in His realm, the spiritual realm. Therefore, the only realm we will seek is the realm we're alive in, the physical realm. The only realm where we have the ability to choose is the realm we're alive in, the physical realm. And because we're dead to God in His realm, that's why Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there's none righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There's not one who does good, not even one. So, for those who hold on to the idea of conditional election, that says that God chose you, predestined you, based on the condition that He looked down the corridor of time and He knew that you would first seek Him, that goes completely against the Scriptures. Because no person who is dead to God will ever, ever seek God. And again, just to nail home this point, Romans 8, I think we talked about it in part 2, maybe in part 1 as well. Paul makes that point very clear. Again, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, he describes two types of people. Those who are under the control of the sin nature, those are people who are unregenerated, not alive to God. Those are people who are unredeemed, not saved. This is a non-believer, right? A pagan. He describes that person and his or her attitude towards God versus a person who is dominated by the Holy Spirit, a person who's obviously regenerated, made alive by the Holy Spirit, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He describes that two people, a person who's dead to God and a person who's alive to God. Here we go. Verse 5. Paul says, for those who are according to the flesh, according to the sin nature, an unregenerated person who's dead to God. Well, what do they set their minds on? The things of the flesh. But of course, because that's the only realm they're alive in. But those who are alive according to the Spirit, well, they set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For instance, the Word of God inspired by the Spirit of God, right? Well, that makes sense. Again, he goes to the people who are dead to God. Verse 6, the mindset on the flesh is death, eternal damnation. But the mindset on the Spirit, those who are alive to God, the result is life and peace. And here we go. The mind, verse 7, set on the flesh. This is a person who is dead to God. What does Paul say? Not that he seeks God. He's hostile to God. Not only that, Paul says, this is a person who does not subject itself to the law of God. You know the law of God, repent and trust in Christ. Paul says this person who's dead to God, is hostile to God, does not subject himself, submit himself to the law of God. Why? He's not even able to do so because he's dead to God. Verse 8, a person like this, Paul says, cannot please God. So this idea that God predestines you based on the condition that he looked down the corridor of time and saw that you would turn and have enough faith on your own to seek God? Paul says in Romans 3, no one sees God. That you would love God? Paul says here in Romans 8, you're hostile to God. That you would work up enough faith on your own to repent of your sins and place your trust, faith and trust in Christ? Paul says, you would not submit to the law of God. You could not. That God would be pleased knowing that you would turn to him. That's why he chose you. Paul says, a person dead to God cannot please God. So again, how does God choose a person? Based on the condition that God thinks that person's going to first choose him? No. God chooses a person not on the condition that he thinks or knows that the person will choose him. He chooses a person unconditionally, knowing that we would never choose God. We could never choose God. We would never seek God. We're hostile to God. We cannot please God. Yet, God in his amazing grace chose you, Christian. How does that make you feel? Humble? I taught this to a group last night. Actually, they had asked the question. That's why I keep doing more and more parts. And one of the people there said, I have goosebumps now. Just thinking of that. And your response is like, wow, why me? And your answer is, not because of you. In spite of you. It's God's grace. It's God's love. That's why it's so amazing. Amazing grace, right? Okay, Andrew. Okay, I'm starting to track here, but I still have this issue with Romans 10 that says anyone who confesses on the name of the Lord will be saved. Absolutely, that's accurate. That's biblical. But who's the anyone? Who's the everyone who confesses on the name of the Lord? You can finish the sentence. Those who have been chosen by God. Again, staying in Romans 8, verses 29 and 30. Those who God foreknew, foreloved, he predestined. Why? To be conformed to the image of his son. So that he, the son, Christ, would be the firstborn of many brethren, first resurrected. Here we go. Those whom God predestined, he called, right? Through the internal call of the Holy Spirit and the external call of the gospel. Those whom he called, he justified, meaning declares you not guilty and righteous in his sight because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to your account. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. You're saved. You cannot lose your salvation. You're saved by grace alone. You are kept by grace alone. You will be home with the Lord by grace alone. Glorified. So, there is not one person of the elect, those who are chosen before the foundation, who will be lost. Those whom God predestined, he will save, and he will bring home to heaven. Okay? So, back to chapter 10, when Scripture says, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Who is the you? Those who have been predestined. Watch the order. You've been predestined, chosen before the foundation of time. Not based on any condition that God saw in you thinking you would choose him. In spite of you, it was unconditional election. God chose you. It's all of his grace. It's all for his glory. 2,000 years ago, Christ went to the cross for the elect, those who had been chosen. He died for his sheep. Christ paid for the sins of the elect. And then God the Holy Spirit regenerated, made alive, those who had been predestined, those who had been redeemed, God the Holy Spirit regenerated, made you alive, and gave you that which you did not have when you were dead. What did he give you? Faith. To be able to recognize that you're a wretched sinner who had been hostile to God, who lived a life that was not pleasing to God, who was a person who would not submit to the commands of God and could not submit to the commands of God, a person who was not seeking God, a person who was running from God. Suddenly now that you've been made alive by the Holy Spirit and you've been given the gift of faith, now you can confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you're saved. Why? You've been chosen before the foundation of time. You were redeemed at the cross 2,000 years ago. And you were regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, given the gift of faith to be able to go, whoa, I'm a wretched sinner. I'm in desperate need of a Savior. Jesus is the one and only Savior. Jesus, please be merciful to me, the sinner. For those who say that you could do that before God the Holy Spirit made you alive and gave you the gift of faith, for those who say that, here's my question. Where'd your faith come from? From yourself? Scripture says you were hostile to God, could not please God, would not submit to the commands of God, and could not. Scripture says you weren't seeking God. You were dead to God, separated from God, under the just judgment of God. Where did you get the faith? If it's before you were regenerated by the Holy Spirit, where did you get the faith? Where did it come from? From in you? Where did it come from? See, that's it right there. People get confused with the order. They say, okay, I'm dead to God, I get it. But I somehow worked up enough faith on my own to be able to confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and that's when I was, here it is, saved. You see it? Those people who believe in conditional election, God looks down a corridor of time and he chooses you based on the condition that God knew you would choose him. Those people say, or at least, I'm not even sure they think about it, but based on that theory, faith precedes regeneration. In other words, they say a dead person, a person who's dead to God, hostile to God, somehow works up enough faith to be able to say, oh, I'm a wretched sinner, I need Christ. And based on that person's faith, that person is then made alive. They say that faith precedes regeneration. Well, it's impossible. Right? Rather, the Holy Spirit first makes you alive. I once was dead, but now I'm alive. The Holy Spirit now gives to you the gift of faith so that, because you're alive and now going, oh, I was hostile to God. Oh, I'm in big trouble with God. I repent of my sins. Jesus, please save my most wretched soul. What the Bible teaches is regeneration precedes faith. So that once you're regenerated, by the Holy Spirit. Once you've been given the gift of faith, you now have the ability and the desire, because a regenerated person is born again. You are born from above. Genau, anathon. Born from above, born from God. Suddenly, you have a new nature. You have a nature that's not hostile to God. You have a nature who desires God. You have a nature who's hungry for the Word of God. You have a nature who wants to worship God. Well, where'd that come from? Oh, you worked up enough faith when you were dead to God to make that happen? No. God in His grace chose you before the foundation of time. Christ in His grace redeemed you 2,000 years ago at the cross. And God the Holy Spirit in His grace regenerated you and made you alive, gave you the gift of faith. Same chapter, chapter 10, Paul says. Well, let's just keep reading. I start in verse 9. You confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Who's the you here? Those who've been regenerated, given the gift of faith to be able to do this. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Well, who's able to believe? Who's able to confess? A dead person? No. A person who's been made alive and given the gift of faith. For the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Who is the whoever? The elect, who have been redeemed and regenerated. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. Holy Spirit doesn't, you know, regenerate based on ethnicity. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. Who is the all who is able to call upon Him? All, even though they're dead to God? No. All who have been chosen, redeemed, and regenerated by God and given the gift of faith to be able to call on Him, because whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you see it? And by the way, that's why Paul continues. He goes, okay, well, how are they going to call on Him whom they've not believed? Great question, right? How will they believe in Him whom they've not heard? Huh. How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Well, wait a second. Why does God want preachers to proclaim the truth? Verse 17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word about or concerning Christ. Here it is. God works through means. So, God works through the means of the Holy Scriptures. So, the Holy Spirit regenerates, makes alive dead people. How? Through the means of the Word. The Holy Scriptures that the Holy Spirit inspired, He uses to regenerate people. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, 24, you were born again. How? By the imperishable living word of truth. The Holy Spirit uses the Holy Scriptures to make dead people alive. Again, it's a quick, it's an instantaneous process. I mean, I don't want to divide the steps into like, well, this happens one day, that day. Again, you were chosen, you were redeemed, and you're regenerated. Regeneration is an instantaneous thing where the Holy Spirit makes you alive, gives you the gift of faith to be able now to hear the word proclaimed. Faith comes from hearing the word concerning Christ. And now that you're alive, you have ears to hear, right? And the Holy Spirit uses the Holy Scriptures to regenerate you. And so, when people say, well, I went forward on an altar call and I was saved then, I think it would be better to say, God in His grace chose me before the end of time, before the beginning of time, Christ in his grace redeemed me at the cross 2,000 years ago. By the way, I had no idea that was all going on because I wasn't even around at that time, right? God the Holy Spirit regenerated you, made you alive, gave you the gift of faith. Suddenly you're hearing the word, and the evidence that you have already been made alive and saved is you're willing now to go forward on an altar call. Do you see it? It's not the altar call that saved you. It's God who saved you. And for those of you who have gone forward on an altar call, the evidence of that is you never wanted to get out of your seat prior to that. And all of a sudden one day you go, wow, why has that happened? What, you who were dead sitting in that chair somehow made yourself alive? No. The Holy Spirit made you alive, right? And next week, part four, we will discuss this idea of the Holy Spirit regenerating you. We'll look at John 3. Again, we'll go to 1 Peter, talk more about the means of the word. But I hope today helped you a little bit and just kind of, again, a lot of it is just the wording. Don't get confused. Faith does not precede regeneration. In other words, you can't work up faith on your own because you're dead to God, all thought of God, in order to make yourself alive. You agree with that? Good. Regeneration precedes saving faith, right? Precedes faith. And again, it's not like we separate these things out, you know, a month to, again, that's something that God works in a realm that we can't see. But how do we know that you're born again, that you're suddenly alive? Well, you have a completely new nature, completely new will. And you suddenly have a desire for the things of God, right? That's all the work of God. And that's why God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit gets all the glory. Amen?
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the host and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.